This podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Choose from over 85,000 titles and get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/Bobby Blackwolf. More information after the midpoint break. The Evil G is at it again, now wanting to tie exclusive gameplay to pre-orders. Plus, did you know that in The Sims 4 you can't drown a toddler in a pool? Tonight is July 13th, 2014, and the Bobby Blackwolf Show featuring your calls and chat comments is up next. So you would say even if... Okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is that one Akia Ripper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it. Billy O.K. says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why it's not because they hate the fans. It's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
It's just me tonight. Nobody else on the stream. Everybody else went to a con this weekend. I stayed home and did nothing. Hello, everybody. And welcome to yet another edition of the Bobby Blackwolf Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminiscing about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwolf. You're joining us live here on the Voice of Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com, where it is just me tonight. Welcome. Thank you for coming. Head on over to our chat room. It's live.vognetwork.com. I'll be trying to read intelligent comments from chat throughout the night. You're going to have to keep me company because it's just me tonight. Everybody else is too tired from a convention. And you can also check in on the site, just like we had a two-way tie for first, Tiger Claw and Zappy, and then Wyland. They were the first to check in. Tiger Claw and Zappy checked in at the same second, and Wyland checked in 1 second after them. So it's not the same people that usually win. So congratulations. Now stop trying to crash my site. You could check in, get some points that may be tied to that may be tied to loot someday, not now. I don't know if we're doing a raffle because everybody else went to a convention this weekend. So maybe they've got stuff to raffle off. I don't know. We haven't decided. That's the curse of us not deciding anything. If you're listening on the podcast feed, you can listen for a passphrase somewhere in the episode and log into the site and register your participation that way. A little bit later on, I'm going to be opening up our Skype line and our toll-free number for you to call in. Our Skype line is Bobby Blackwolf Show, all one word, or toll-free in North America, 1-888-36-GAME-1, or you can contact me on my website, bobbyblackwolf.com. Right off the bat, before I go into usually the stuff that I talk about in the beginning, I do kind of want to give this shout-out. I want to congratulate another podcast that's out there, RP Grinders. They are doing their 300th episode this week. That is a big accomplishment to stick with something that long, especially in our drama-filled world of gaming podcasts that seems to be out there, much to our chagrin. So congratulations to them. I think they're recording it this coming Friday, and you can call in. They do it live over on another network. Wicked Radio Network, I believe, is where they are right now. Call in and participate with them, even though they're not on Vogue. Go ahead and participate, because support all independent podcasts. We should all be in this together. We all need to support each other, because it's us against everybody else. So go support RP Grinders and congratulate them on 300, because most people don't even get to 3 podcasts or 30 podcasts, much less 300. Now they can finally take on everybody else in battle for Sparta. If there isn't at least one Sparta joke in there, I'm going to be very disappointed. So one of the things I like to do is I do like to read comments that were left on the website. And we have our one from Obi-Wan Jabroni, who checked in, by the way. He didn't check in first, but he did check in. So he's listening right now. He wanted to say that he did finally he appreciated the recognition that he deserved. That he got last week for whatever prediction. I've already forgotten what the prediction is. Now everyone knows who listens live and on the podcast that I'm the Sith Lord of Vogue. This is him talking. And won the leaderboards, more leaderboards than Tiger Claw. See, that's why you need to participate, because you could then knock off Obi-Wan Jabroni if you participate. He also wanted to give a quick PSA. I don't know if this was a PSA or a paid announcement. Ditch Google as your search engine and get rewarded. Go to Bing Rewards. The interesting thing is that they have Xbox Live Rewards only available to you bloody Yanks, which is all of us cool people on this side of the Atlantic Ocean. We're lucky. Yeah. And as with all these things, he is in no way affiliated with Microsoft or Bing, and he doesn't know how much privacy we'd have to give up. And then he wants to tell my CEO I'm a very good man. Thank you very much for that. I will pass that along to my CEO and see if he believes you. I'll tell him that you got this big E3 prediction right, and so you know you are the master of knowing things. If you want to leave comments, you can go over to the page over at VogNetwork.com. And actually, on the last episode, I actually put up a video of the virtual pinball table that we were talking about with the interview and some pictures. Last of the pictures from the show. We don't have anything else from Southern Fried Game Room Expo. We went through everything that we got there. So the next convention is Dragon Con that I'll be trying to get some kind of interview thing at. We're not going as media because that's they wouldn't be able to help us do anything, and we'd have a lot more pressure to produce coverage. And then they evaluate that coverage to see if you're allowed back the following year. So we just buy our passes and go in. But we are going to be on a couple panels at Dragon Con. And coming up this Thursday, if you are in the Atlanta area, there is going to be a VR meetup. So go and it's actually going to be at a place that sells beer. So I can drink and talk about VR and, you know, kill two birds with one stone, I guess. So it's called the Atlanta VR Meetup. And it's going to be at Battle and Brew, which is a esports-themed land center slash bar. It's in Marietta, which is northwest of Atlanta. So it's not actually in the city. And it's going to be there. It's going to be Thursday nights from 6 to 10 p.m. There's going to be a bunch of people there with their Oculus Rift dev kits. We had hoped to get dev kits too. Get some dev kit 2s there, but they actually haven't shipped those. And I don't think any of the featured developers that were able to get the dev kit 2s early, I don't think any of them are in Atlanta. So we're all going to be rocking the dev kit 1s. The guy is going to hopefully be having a whole bunch of demos there that are going to be running on their big beefy computers. I'm going to be bringing my laptop with my dev kit that has some of the demos that I've gotten since I do this podcast. So some people have sent me things in confidence that, you know, I'm okay. They're okay with me showing others. They just don't want me giving out the files. So I'll be running some of those, but they're going to be running Welcome to the official list. That the official organizers are going to be running Welcome to Oculus, Technolust, Rift Max Theater, Proton Pulse, Rift Coaster, Time Rifters, Sensapezo, and My Neighbor Totoro. Those last two are actually like just little demos that you just sit there and you look around. You're not actually interacting with it. So they're kind of more atmospheric demos. But he's going to have four machines. There were eight things there. He's going to run four of those and then for 2 hours and then move over to the next one. So I'm going to be bringing probably like the Darknet flavor demo that I played a lot at E3 and that I've been showing some people. And I've got a Tron Light Cycle, and I've got Radial GSP, which you can get that demo, and you can actually play it on a monitor too, which is F-Zero and Wipeout. And it works really well, and you don't get sick. Like, they actually figured out how to make an F-Zero game without getting you sick. So that's going to be a lot of fun. So there's a meetup page. If you go to meetup.com, look for Atlanta Virtual Reality Meetup. It is there if you're in the Atlanta area. It's Thursday night, this Thursday night, the 17th of July, 6 to 10 p.m. And I know Kenzie's in chat. So if they weren't going to run Time Rifters, I was going to run it. But if they're going to run Time Rifters, then that's one less thing I need to run on my laptop. Fifth Dream says, regarding what we said about Dragon Con, we don't want to be pressed. We'd have to do stuff. It's not that we don't want to be pressed. We'd have to do stuff. That's not what it is. It's that they can't help us get interviews, which is the main type of way we get coverage because of the radio format. So we'd have to find some other way to quote unquote cover Dragon Con, and then we have to submit it to them and they evaluate it. And so instead of us just partying and having fun and doing the normal type of coverage we do, we would actually have a little bit more stress to produce something that would pass muster with the Dragon Con gods. And, you know, we already have to do that once for E3. We don't want to do it for Dragon Con. So the first story that I want to talk about tonight It's about one of my not favorite companies. One of my least favorite companies. I don't even want to say favorite companies with the word least in front of them. That's how much I don't like them. And Shadow Next Gen, he was not in chat now. He was like, Bobby, you should do this, and you can get $5 in Xbox Live. All you got to do is connect the Evil G Facebook app to your Facebook profile and fill out this survey and send in all your information. It'll give you $5. I'm like, no, I don't want to. And then I saw this, and I really don't want to. So Venture Pete reports that GameStop, that's who the Evil G is, for those who are new, has made big bucks over the years by promising to deliver exclusive content if you pre-order games at the store. Now it's devising a plan to get even cozier with developers and publishers to help it nab bigger, better, and more important exclusives in the future. The retailer recently sat down with investment company R.W. Baird to talk about the games industry's present and future, and Baird analyst Colin Sebastian revealed that the brick-and-mortar chain wants to find ways to give customers more value when they pre-order games. The Evil G often offers special items and downloadable content when customers reserve big-name releases like Watch Dogs or Call of Duty. Watch Dogs had 9 different pre-orders. And that's one of the reasons, along with the trade-in and rewards program, that are helping it to gain record market share for software sales on Xbox One and PlayStation 4. In an effort to deliver more attractive exclusive in the future, the company has confirmed at GamesBeat, that's VentureBeat's games stuff, that it is looking to get involved early in the development process of big games, something it does not do now. So in the note to investors, Sebastian wrote, quote, GameStop indicated that software publishers are more enthusiastic about partnering with it. For example, by offering exclusive content on each major game release, and longer-term future models may include the Evil G offering exclusive gameplay, unquote. VentureBeat actually asked for clarification, and they explained that, quote, GameStop is getting involved at the time of game development where there could be some content exclusive to the retailer included in the game, unquote. And GameStop actually did say, yes, that is accurate. That is very accurate. So the Evil G's public relations spokesperson, Jackie Smith, told GameSpeed, quote, we are working with our development partners to build a longer lead time, and we are working with them to get both physical and digital exclusives for our customers, unquote. So what this is kind of pointing to is right now, you know, when you get a pre-order, you might get like a level, or you might get, a gun or something. And eventually those things will be, and here's the thing is eventually those things do become DLC that you can buy. But what they're kind of saying now is maybe there will be actual gameplay elements that are only available to people who pre-order at GameStop. And SJ100 Matt tells you exactly why they're doing it. They're trying to do this to get people back into the stores to deter them from buying online or elsewhere. So they're going to now try to convince developers, and I don't know if this is going to work or not. They're going to probably try to convince developers to take a certain gameplay element and lock it down for people who pre-order at the Evil G. If you just buy it there without pre-ordering, well, then you don't get it. Because honestly, the investors at GameStop and stuff, they don't care about people who go into the store and buy a game. They only care about reservations and subscriptions. So if you subscribe to the Game Informer magazine or get the Power Up Rewards card, that's what they care about. They don't care about people that go in and buy a game. They only care if you pre-order the game. And it's just, this is kind of scary because they already do this, sometimes you'll get like an exclusive gun or an exclusive car. And that doesn't really impact the gameplay. It's just one extra thing that you could have access to. And usually, eventually, after 6 months or whatever, those would be released as DLC so you can get access to them because they're on the disc. Well, if they're going to start locking away gameplay and not just like a level or, not just a multiplayer level or something like that, but actual gameplay elements, like we saw, I think it was, what was it, Assassin's Creed 4, maybe, whichever one had like the naval stuff, and you couldn't do more, you couldn't have a fleet unless you got the season pass. Well, imagine now, you could do that naval stuff, but you can't have a fleet. You just have to go it alone unless you pre-ordered at GameStop. SJ Wonder and Matt said, I would be fine with it if the developer offered that content for DLC and that for the $5 that people would be spending that, to reserve it. That's the thing, is I don't think that would be an option, because I think it'd be a timed exclusive. So, yeah, they may offer it 6 months later. Fifth Dream says, Alien Isolation has an extra 79 Alien pre-order bonus level that you can't get anywhere else. So it's, you know, so other people are doing this with levels, but I mean, I'm kind of worried about, like, actually, like, locking down gameplay elements. You can only do this in the game if you pre-ordered at GameStop. That's the only reason they would want to get involved earlier in the process. Now, there was a clarification that was made on, I think Time Magazine did an interview with their CEO, and he said, no, we're not trying, and he sidestepped the question. He kind of said that we're not trying to tell developers how to make their games. We are not creative control. We're not trying to do any of that. And then that's where he stopped, but that's not what this was saying. This wasn't saying that the Evil G was going to go in and say, here's what you need to put in your game. It's more that they're going to try to lock certain things down to them. And they didn't specify that. They kept talking about, oh, no, we're not creative. We're not exerting creative control on the game industry. We're not very good at that. We want to sell games and play games, and that's it. And they want to sell pre-orders. Yeah, and SJ Wonder Matt says their goal isn't a special car or skin, because they've already been doing that for a long time. They want significant gameplay elements. They want to give a very significant reason why you should pre-order the game from the Evil G rather than buying it on the buying it day one digital from the PlayStation Network, or rather from buying it on Xbox Live for your Xbox One, or pre-ordering it from Amazon. You know, that's what they want. They want to give a very good, compelling reason where you won't get the full experience of the game unless you pre-order it from the Evil G. Breakman says GameStop is telling Sega that Sonic will have to walk if you buy the game from somewhere other than GameStop. There you go. No sprint button in the RPG. That's what I would do if I wanted to be a troll. You know, and if I wanted to be the trolley G, is that I would be like, okay, cool, yeah. In your Japanese RPG, the character can only walk unless you pre-order with the GameStop, and then we'll allow you to hold down the triangle button, and then it'll sprint, so you can get around the towns quicker. That's what I would do if I was truly, truly as evil as everybody says I am. Dark Tetsuya says, I'm so grateful Nintendo would never go for any of this. You never know. You never know. Never say never. So I'm very scared about that. So I hope that the developers, here's the thing. I think the developers are going to be on our side, as in this is not a good idea to lock down gameplay elements for, you know, pre-orders and stuff. But it's not always up to them. It's the publishers who usually don't have the best interests of the player in mind. The developers have the best interests of the player in mind. The publishers and the investors, they don't. And that's who you've got to worry about. Dungeon says they've already done the Xenoblade Chronicles exclusive and have produced extra copies for sale in their stores at inflated pricing. So investing in exclusive DLC, they're just taking another step. See, that's true. You know, Nintendo would never go for this. They did. Xenoblade Chronicles, Nintendo pressed more copies, and the Evil G sold them for like $25 more than the MSRP because they could. And SJ Wonder Matt says, you're offering a developer, or a publisher in this case, instant money before the game is released. They'll get that money regardless if the game does poorly, so it wouldn't be surprised if a lot do this. Because that's the thing, is trying to get that money up front so you can make the game. You could go to Kickstarter and have everybody hate you for going to Kickstarter because you're a well-known publisher, or you could get in bed with Evil G and get money that way. Speaking of something that's going to be pulled off into DLC, I haven't been following this game at all. It's a PC game. Every once in a while, I do play this series every once in a while, and it'll be like one of those things where I play this series, and I'll like play the game for like two nights straight, like hours and hours and hours and hours, and I just get completely sucked in, and then I don't touch it again for like a year. And then I'll go in and decide, you know, I'm gonna see what's going on and play it a little bit for hours and hours and hours and hours. And I'm talking about The Sims. The Sims 4 is coming out. And I keep remembering it is, and then I keep forgetting that it is. Well, one of the things that a lot of people like to do in The Sims was they used to build a pool. They used to take their toddler and throw them in the pool and then take away the ladder, and the toddler would die. Well, you can't do that in The Sims 4 because there are no toddlers and there are no pools in The Sims 4. You cannot have a swimming pool in The Sims 4, and you cannot have a toddler in The Sims 4. It goes straight from baby to child. PC Gamer reports that some people are miffed that The Sims 4 won't feature pools or toddlers, two seemingly small details that have nonetheless caused a fair bit of outrage through their absence. It's more about why features or presents in previous entries haven't been included in the latest version. The worry is that EA might be holding them back for one of The Sims' many expansion packs. That worry probably won't be mollified by the latest Sims blog post addressing the matter, but it does explain the reasons behind the decision to not include those two features. So basically, there's shiny new AI in The Sims 4 and the animation system and the build mode and create a sim and all that stuff, and they couldn't actually include swimming pools or toddlers. So there was a post done by one of the lead designers over at thesims.com and says, quote, "The fact is we owe you a clearer explanation of why pools and toddlers will not be in The Sims 4 at launch. So here goes. It begins with new technology and systems that we built for the new base game for The Sims. A new AI system, new animation system, new audio positioning tools, new locomotion logic, new routing intelligence, and much more are entirely new to this game. The vision for The Sims 4 is a new experience that brings your Sims to life in deeper and ultimately in uniquely personal ways through emotions, personality traits, behaviors, and interactions. To do that, our technology needed needed a major upgrade." So the bottom line is that when we sat down and looked at everything we wanted to do for this game, all the new tech we wanted to build in it, the fact that there would be trade-offs and these would disappoint some of our fans. Hard pill to swallow, believe me, but delivering on this vision set out for The Sims 4 required focus. Focus on revolutionizing The Sims themselves. So rather than include toddlers, we decided to go deeper on the features that make Sims come alive. Meaningful and often amusing emotions, more believable emotions and interactions, more tools and create a sim, and more realistic and sometimes weird sim behavior. Instead of pools, we chose to develop key new features in build mode, direct manipulation, building a house room by room, and being able to exchange your custom rooms easily to make the immediate environment even more relatable and interactive for your sim, unquote. So, it's ActDev says, not available at launch, wait for the DLC. That's what's going to happen. And I think now, especially with all the outrage and stuff that's in here, that they know, we'll just, package it in with an expansion. Maybe not even the first expansion. We'll wait till the second expansion and the third expansion and finally put back in swimming pools. We'll call it the backyard party expansion, where we'll include more grills and other things that you could do outside and stuff. And I think they're seeing the dollar signs there. SJ1R Matt says, in other words, the game is too smart and realizes that pools are a tremendous amount of upkeep and time for Sims, same for toddlers. But it's one of those things where, sometimes I can understand, when you start from scratch, no, you can't always bring everything from the previous stuff over, because it's not like you're building on top of what was already built. You're starting from scratch and recreating what was built, and you have to decide what you're going to bring over and what you're not going to bring over. I've been in software development enough to have made those tough decisions, but that's not necessarily something that a lot of people really understand. And especially a lot of people are like, well, I don't know anything about programming, but it sounds like it should be just really easy to just copy that code over and boom, you're done. It's not that easy. But that being said, an entire stage of a Sim's life being gone, that's kind of a big deal. It's not like, we couldn't implement this, this certain little tiny feature that was kind of nice to have. You're actually cutting out an entire section of the game for a lot of people. And then not having the pools, I mean, that was a big thing that a lot of people would use for, a lot of their designs and stuff when they did build houses, because, that's how they would make moats around their house, around their evil castle of doom and stuff. Breakman says, they took toddlers out just to piss me off. I had so many plans for killing them and making them softer, making them suffer. You couldn't actually kill them in The Sims. What would happen is if they were about to die, a social worker would come take them away. even if you locked them into a room with no doors and no windows, the social worker could actually walk through the wall and rescue your toddler and take it away. So just letting you know that the Sims 4 is coming out, and you can't kill toddlers in pools with it. So if that's what you wanted the Sims 4, get it? The Sims 4 4? Yeah. If that's what you wanted it for, you're not going to want it. But you're going to need Origin anyway. But the good news is you can play it offline. That's the other big thing that they did for The Sims 4 is you don't have to have an online connection to play it. So EA learned something. We're going to take a quick music break, and then we are going to come back and we'll take your calls. There is no Orange Lounge Radio tonight, but Rob from OLR, he is back from GamerX. We're going to call him and talk to him and wake him up and stuff because he's probably tired and trying to sleep. We'll wake him up and ask him about how GamerX was, how the podcast cross-zone panel went, and all that stuff. So we'll talk to him, but there is going to be no OLR tonight, so it's just me tonight on the feed. But we're going to take a music break, and then we'll take your calls after that. You're participating with the Bobby Blackwell Show here on the Voice of Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com.
This is Billy Mitchell, Video Game Player of the Century, and I'm participating with the Bobby Blackwolf Show.
It's the nicest thing he's ever done in his life is doing that bumper. If you want to be a nice person, you can leave a bumper just like the Video Game Player of the Century who we interviewed 3 weeks ago here on the show. All you got to do is leave a voicemail on the toll-free number, or you can send me an MP3 with just your voice to bumpers@BobbyBlackwolf.com. Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you a chance to check out their service. You can get that 30-day free trial, get a free audiobook, and that's yours to keep, even if you cancel before the trial is over. There's over a million audiobooks there. Bunch of them are great. All you got to do, you can make any of those free for you to keep, even if you never like actually pay them money. All you got to do is go to audibletrial.com/BobbyBlackwolf. So the phones are now open. Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype, 1-888-36-GAME-1, toll-free in North America. You can call in and talk about anything going on in the gaming industry. Do you play The Sims? Do you wish that pools were there, or do you see it as the DLC grubbing thing? Or do you think that maybe Toddlers and Pools will be a GameStop pre-order exclusive? That could be the case, too. To register participation for this episode of the Bobby Blackwolf Show on VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase POT, and that passphrase will be valid for 2 weeks. There were a lot of other events, gaming events this weekend. I know that both GamerX and California Extreme were going on this past weekend out in the Bay Area, and I think Evo, big fighting game championship. Evo was this weekend as well, and I think like next weekend, San Diego Comic Con. It is convention season, ladies and gentlemen. So if you went to any of those, I mean, we're going to be talking to Rob, who went to GamerX in about 10 minutes. But if you went to any of those, or you know, you tried to get PAX South tickets that stealthily went on sale in the middle of the day, so everybody that had a 9-to-5 job couldn't get tickets. Having 978 says you need to go to GameStop for the toddlers and Amazon.com for the pools. Yeah, the Penny Arcade Expo South, the one in, I think, San Antonio, same weekend as MAGFest in January. They did the whole stealth, you know. Oh, by the way, tickets are available right now. And it was like at 2 o'clock in the afternoon and 3-day passes. I mean, it took 2 hours, so it wasn't the 15 minutes it took before, but 3-day passes sold out in like 2 hours. And they're like, oh, no, you could still buy Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. You could buy, you know, single-day passes still for everything. So really, we're not sold out. And yeah, they need to do something about that. I'm not a fan of that that way of doing things because, you know, it does. And I can see why they think they have to do it is because of scalpers. And they did, I think, limit 4 tickets per purchase. But there are ways to do that. Other conventions and expos have been able to handle this problem in a way that didn't involve screwing over people that had 9-to-5 jobs that couldn't actually be available at the very specific time when they just surprise announced, oh, by the way, they're open now. So we do have a call here on the line. Bobby Black will show you are on the air. Who is this?
Hi, this is Raginator.
Raginator, what's up, man?
Not a whole lot. Two things. First off, it's sort of a public service announcement for all the listeners out there.
All right.
They may not necessarily be listening live, but currently, right now, for the next few weeks or so, PC Gamer is actually giving away a free game for Steam, in effect, for a grand total of one game per week for 6 weeks. They're currently on week three right now, and right now, they're giving away big, really big sky for Steam. I think, last week was, Dino D-Day. I have no idea what next week's going to be, but basically, if you want free games for Steam, just go to their site, do like one or two clicks on, the banner, and bam, you get like a Steam code. So, basically, this may come in handy because I know times are tough for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. People may not necessarily have a whole lot of money to go buying games left and right. So, if you can get yourself a free game, much more better for everyone. So,
yeah, there's that going on, and then for people that have a PS3 or a Vita. For the live listeners at least, there's like a whole bunch of games for 99 cents this weekend. So
I think some people in chat were mentioning that. In fact, I can't remember specific titles, but I think there were some really good 99 cent titles thrown out in the sale. So if you're a PS3 owner, mm-hmm. check that out.
Yeah.
Second thing, before I do let you go, I know the vast majority of the listeners aren't necessarily fans of the series, although I am slowly but surely making some converts. Coming out on the 16th for Steam, Magic 2015 is coming out. As far as I know, the iPad version is already out, and the console version for Xbox Live Arcade and PlayStation Network should be coming out next week as well. And based on what I've read about the game so far, and this is just based on, limited information hearsay. It sounds like, the Stainless Games, developers of the game have really taken a lot of feedback from, the public, and made a lot of changes. I won't get my hands on the actual game itself until it's actually released. Mm-hmm. But once it is released and I do get some game time up, I'll put up an unofficial review of the game on Vogue's forums. That way, everyone can get like a sense whether or not the game is good or not. So,
yeah. All right. Yeah, that's cool. I mean, there's a lot of people that like it. I never got into Magic, and that's why you can't. I mean, I've got my deck. I was actually trying to find my deck in my drawer while you were talking, and I couldn't find it. But I have like one deck, and it sucked, and I sucked at it, and so I never played it again. So
yeah,
that's why I'm not getting into it as much as you try.
Well, I'm first to admit that. The series isn't for everyone. Everyone has their own personal taste in games. Some people like, the Halo series. Some people like, the racing games. Some people like Forza. Some people like, Street Fighter. I tend to play a little bit of everything. That also includes the Magic series. So I tend to switch up in what I play, but at least the previous entries, some of the features in them are kind of hit or miss. But overall, taking the series as a whole, it's pretty fun, so.
I just found my stapler. It was in my drawer. I've been looking for that stapler, and it was in the drawer the entire time. Not a red swinger line or anything. All right. Thanks for your call, man. I appreciate it.
All right. You have a good one. Take care.
I've been looking for that stapler. I was going to burn the place down if I couldn't find it. Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype, 1-888-36-GAME-1, toll-free in North America. You can call in and commend me on finding my stapler, I guess, because, you know, I was going to burn the place down if I couldn't find that. So we do have another call here on the line. So Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
This is Eric RPG.
Eric RPG, what's up, man?
What's up? I just want to call and say thank you for congratulating us on our 300th episode coming this Friday.
Well, congratulations on it. That's hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's very hard to do.
I've been doing it for 5 years, and the show's been around for 6.
Yeah.
And Frank actually thanks me a lot, because if it weren't for me, the show probably wouldn't have lasted as long as it did.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you guys have had some issue, some drama that happened and stuff, and so it's all, and so have I, and so have all of us. And, you know, just, you know, kudos to sticking with it. Where are you guys now?
We're at Wicked Radio Network.
Okay.
And if it hadn't been for Frank's idea to create that podcasting network, we probably would have ended up on Vogue.
Yeah. Well, but I mean, it worked out for everything, because, like, you know, there's more independent content down there. And I know you guys have, like, some horror shows and some other stuff on that network that we don't have. So, you know, it's great to have more content out there for the weeks, like when OLR is off, you know, and there's no OLR this week. People who can go over and listen to some of Wicked Radio's stuff.
Yeah, I think Deadman Talking is on Sundays now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that would be around there, OLR's time.
Yeah. But so, there's always podcasting.
Mm-hmm. As for other things, calling about, I've been playing a little bit of Shovel Knight. That's a pretty fun game.
So
difficult.
Yeah, that's kind of what I could kind of glean.
I got to the Spectre Knight stage, and it was pretty tricky, because you get two parts in the level where you can't see anything, and the only way to see is for the lightning to strike, and it light up the area. But if you do die, you only lose a fourth of your gold, and you can get back to it Demon's Soul style. You can reclaim your money.
Okay.
So that's kind of interesting.
All right. Yeah, now I've seen the screenshot, but I've kind of, you know, when somebody says, like, it's a roguelike Metroidvania, right? That's kind of what it is?
Nah, not really, because the levels are pre-generated.
Oh, okay. Okay, so it's not roguelike. Well, that's good, because I'm tired of roguelikes now.
Mm-hmm. So it's not Rogue Legacy, which is coming out on console soon, actually.
Yes. Yeah, I have that on Steam, and I kind of enjoy it, but I'm not very good at it. But but yeah, that's getting a full release on PS4 and Vita and stuff.
Then there's Abyss Odyssey, which I think is still predetermined maps, but it's kind of similar to Metroidvania.
Yeah.
But it's apparently also a fighting game.
Okay. Cool. So you recommend those?
Yeah.
Cool.
Awesome. And, well, thanks, and I hope I have 300 more episodes for the show.
Yes. Good luck on that. I'm speeding toward my 9-year anniversary.
Mm.
So,
well, see you guys later. You let other people get on.
All right. Thanks so much for calling. So, RP Grinders, you can find them on, you can search for Google and find them everywhere, but Wicked Radio Network is where they are. Episode 300 is coming up for them. So yeah. Travis Donovan tells me that I need to move my push my desk back as far as possible. Yeah. I did not get that TPS report, sorry. So not coming up next. Let's see. I'm going to see if I can figure out which thing he's on. Not coming up next is Orange Lounge Radio, but we're still going to talk to Rob anyway about GamerX. And stuff. So so usually we check in with OLR, but right now we're just checking in with Rob. So Rob, are you there?
I'm here, Bobby. How are you?
Did I wake you up?
I'm still awake. No nap yet. I'm doing all right.
So you're doing all right. But you came back from GamerX today. How was it?
I did. I had a great time. You know, I had a good time at GamerX last year, and it's been really interesting to see the progression that they made this year. You know, one of the big probably feedback items, I don't want to say complaints, but probably feedback items that people had for GamerX last year was that the space was too small. And, you know, I talked about that a little bit on OLR last year. Well, they certainly did upgrade the space this year. They were at a place, the Intercontinental Hotel, and they were across three different floors there at the Intercontinental. Most of the activity was on two of the three floors. With a lot of the expo and rooms and things to do on floor five. And then they have most of the panels on floor three and the live events there. But much kind of a better layout than what they had at the hotel the year before, which was, you know, not to slam the Hotel Kabuki, which was a lovely venue, but it just unfortunately, it's one of those, like, gee, rough problem. Your convention's too popular. It needs a bigger space, right?
Yeah. So, and are you sad this is going to be the last one?
You know, I'm not so sure it really is going to be the last one, Bobby. We're about 15 minutes, or actually, no, not even that. We're probably about 10 minutes away from the closing ceremonies over at GamerX are actually starting at 6 o'clock. Even though I'm home now, I unfortunately missed a good chunk of the last day here because, you know, I have to take a long drive to San Francisco to get to the con. So I came back, and I'm unfortunately missing the closing ceremonies. And, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. I imagine there'll be stuff out on Twitter in the next hour and a half, if they are going to announce what is to come for the future of GamerX, I would expect that's going to hit in the next hour and a half. Kind of the buzz I'm picking up on is that they're going to, and again, take this with a huge grain of salt, rumor mill churning here, is that they are going to relaunch themselves with a new name and kind of a new brand. You may have kind of heard me talk on OLR about this before. I think one of the biggest problems right now, quote unquote, that GamerX is having is in gaining popularity is that I think there's a big question out there like, well, I'm not gay. What would I get out of going to GamerX? You know, and it's not even just about being sure that we include everything in the quilt bag, as I call it, you know, lesbian, bisexual, transgender. You know, it's not just about making sure that all of them are included in a GamerX, but I think also making sure that allies are included and people that are looking for a safe space without, you know, where a certain level of dignity and way you treat people is expected. I was reading this story on Rama's Facebook just as I got home about some guy like looking under a girl's cosplay skirt at some convention, and that just blew my mind that like somebody would think that that's like an okay thing to do. Now, obviously, that guy was, you know, the cops were called, that guy was thrown out, whatever. But, you know, it's certainly at a place like GamerX, that sort of behavior, absolutely unacceptable. And it's really neat to see just how, like, people feel at ease, people feel comfortable, people really enjoy GamerX in a way that sometimes they can't really let their hair down. They can't the same way they can at another con. So anyway, I'm talking in circles, but I believe what's going to happen is that they will probably relaunch with some type of open brand, like an open con or a, you know, inclusive con or something that's going to speak towards lots, even an even bigger bag than just, you know, the quilt bag.
That's good. I mean, and I mean, I was, and I know that we talked about this. Like, if VOG could not get into E3, mm-hmm. I would have taken that money and tried to go to GamerX.
Yeah,
because I had already set money aside for a transcontinental trip,
mm-hmm.
and stuff. And if I couldn't use it for E3, why not go to San Francisco and hang out with a whole bunch of fabulous people?
Right. Yeah, and that's, you know, and that's really what the weekend was all about. Like, you know, it may not have had quite the activity that something like Dragon Con has going across all those different hotels. I mean, again, it was just ultimately two floors of one hotel where most of the action was, but I really felt like there was like just cool stuff to see everywhere. And it was the type of con where it's like, maybe I don't know a lot about board games, but I can kind of poke my head in here and I might learn something, like meet some people, and everybody's just really cool and chill, and like there's just kind of that expectation, like don't be a jerk at this convention, you know.
It sounds like it's PAX without the jerks.
In a way. I mean, I think it includes a lot more than just video gaming, but I guess PAX does a lot of that too, because I know PAX does things like Cards Against Humanity and some of that.
Well,
but
yeah, when I say PAX, I mean more like PAX 07, PAX 08.
Yeah.
Because they did have the board game room and the card game room and all that stuff, and they still have that.
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
yeah,
in PAX 08, it was all in that convention center. At PAX mm-hmm. East, it was a huge area. It was their big board game and card game area, and you could just, like, it's like this old airport airplane hangar or something is what it looked like.
Yeah, and unfortunately, there are still some space limitations for GamerX. You know, their video game room was really just one little conference room that they converted, and it was a little hard to get around just because they had so much good stuff in there. You know, it's funny, a good buddy of OLR back in the day, some of the old school listeners might remember Explicit. He actually does a lot of these game rooms for conventions now, and he was doing, or he with other people, but I know he's a big part of it. He did the one for GamerX. So it was kind of funny that I ran into him, and I haven't seen that guy in like 4 or 5 years, and we were able to kind of talk about the game room and some of the retro stuff they had there. Unfortunately, it would have been it's a darn shame he didn't have like 4 times the space. But, you know, again, here I am complaining that, you know, the con might be too popular again. It's just getting bigger.
And then California Extreme was at the same time.
Yeah, that was really unfortunate, too, because, you know, that's in the Bay Area as well. And I even know people who had to make a decision. Am I going to go to GamerX or am I going to go to California Extreme? And I did have some friends that decided to go to California Extreme instead, because I think some people may not especially those that are more in the ally boat, where it's like, you know, I want to support like this GamerX, and I realize that you don't have to be gay to enjoy this stuff, and I want to support that. But at the same time, I'm not really sure what there is speaking to me. But I know I'm going to get old school games at California Extreme, so I'm going to go there. So I kind of feel like that's what happened with some people I knew.
If I had gone, I probably would have gone to both.
If you're going to fly all the way out here from the East Coast, I probably wouldn't blame you. And there probably were, you know, a number of people that did do that.
Yeah,
you know,
I saw go to California Extreme for a little bit, you know, on Saturday.
Yeah,
and then you know, come back and do GamerX for the other days or something, because you can split those up a little bit.
Yeah, you could have kind of planned it that way, and I bet you some people did. I know some people that just went today on Sunday. I kind of think Saturday was the busiest day at GamerX. That would be the one that, but maybe I'm biased because that's when we did our panel. But I think if you had to make that very tough choice, you could do both. But I'm hoping if GamerX does continue in another form, which I really hope it does, whatever they choose to evolve into next, that they'll pick the most non-conflicting weekend possible. I mean, it's going to be hard this time of year. You're going to conflict with something.
Yeah.
You know, they had to go up against DashCon, people.
Yeah, it's because like next week's San Diego Comic Con.
That's what GamerX was missing, was a ball pit. I'm going to put that in for next year. I'm going to suggest that. You need a ball pit.
If you're a VIP, they'll listen to you.
They might. I don't know where they would have put one, though. That could have just been the fourth floor, because registration, you know, it dies down at the end of the day. So, ball pit.
Yep. Turn the registration lines into a ball pit. Or no,
exactly.
Go through the ball pit to get to registration.
There you go.
So how did the panel go? When can I hear it?
I don't know when it's going to be up. I know last year they posted all the videos. We actually had you don't even know a lot about this, Bobby, because it just kind of happened all spur of the moment. But one of the co-hosts on Starboard Power Coupling, Eddie, is actually kind of like a video guy. He does a lot of indie movies and things like that.
Thanks for telling us, Eddie.
He actually went to the con and he filmed Podcast Cross Zone. So I know we have that video, but I also kind of want to wait and see. Like, if GamerX is going to do something official pretty quickly, then, you know, I'll let them kind of do their thing. But if nothing else, we might kind of strip the audio from Eddie's video and put that out there. I know some of the other podcasts involved, like Koopa Club and Game Buoy, they tend to put that stuff on their feeds. So that would be really great so people can hear the panel. But also, Eddie and I shot some video around the convention, so I'm hoping there'll actually be a VOG vlog, which we haven't done an awful lot of those. Been a while, but this is our kind of dipping the toe in the water when it comes to video content. I don't know when, but soon.
I'm excited about that.
Me too. A little nervous too, because I'm not. When you watch it, you're going to see, oh, Rob's not really a video guy. There's a reason he does radio.
You learn it. You get into it. Because I mean, my video stuff wasn't that great either.
Yeah, exactly.
But you know, neither was my early radio stuff.
That's I mean, when I'm thinking of me, so I'm not sitting here, yeah, Bobby, you were really bad to me. No, for me too. I always tell people constantly, you want to go back and listen to episode 1 of Orange Lounge Radio. It was a very different show. Be careful.
So how was, other than when can I hear it, how did the panel go?
The panel was fantastic. We actually had quite a few people in the room. We had some other podcasters. I learned about some new shows I didn't even know about before. And that was really cool to just meet some other podcasters. And a really great Q&A. Fantastic questions, back-to-back questions. We had some guys who have started a gaming podcast in Espanol that actually started after the last podcast Cross Zone. These two guys started a podcast over Skype that is completely in Espanol. I wish I could sit here and tell you more about the show, but it's in another language. I think Act Deft listens to it. Hopefully he can tell you a little more about it. But the guys are great that put it on. And they were asking a question about, you know, we're thinking about getting more guests on the show. How do we go about getting guests on the show? And, you know, we talked about all you had to do is ask. And I actually brought you up, Bobby. Ooh. So your presence was felt at GamerX. Yay. I brought you up. And I talked about your Gearbox interview and how you interviewed Gearbox about that whole – remember the girlfriend controversy, girlfriend mode, that whole thing? You know, you interviewed them not long after that happened because you asked. And
I,
it just went,
and not only did I just interview Gearbox, I actually interviewed the dude who said it.
Yes.
And
yes.
Nobody else asked for an interview.
Right. And that went to really go show the power of, you know, the worst thing you're going to get is no. But there were so many sites at that time talking about it and running blogs on it and, you know, people. But, you know, you went to the guy, you know, and asked him, is there anything else you'd like to say about this? You know, and you actually, you know, gave him a chance to clear the air, and he did. And we could move on from that. And yeah. Gearbox was at GamerX, by the way. It was one of the few, and this is a step up from GamerX last year. They actually had games on the exhibition floor. One of the big ones that was being shown was Borderlands, the pre-sequel. Mm-hmm. I mean, who would have thunk it? This is a game not out yet being shown at GamerX. So how far we've come, right? Yeah. With this Gearbox thing. So kudos to those folks at Gearbox and 2K and Ubisoft and those big companies that showed up to support GamerX. But anyway, here I go talking in circles again. The question about guests on shows was immediately followed by another question, which I thought was amazing because this gal stood up in the back of the room and she said, I am an indie game maker. How do I get on your shows?
Ask.
Exactly. And I said, it's so funny you asked that after this, because I'm going to tell you the same thing that we told this guy, you know, and all the other podcasts on the panel pretty much agreeing that we would love to have you on. Ask, because we don't necessarily know about your game. And I even went so far to say, and if Travis is still listening, he'll have a field day with this one. I went so far to say is that for some, you know, growing podcasts, it's kind of an ego feeding thing. Like, that's not to say that all podcasters are egotistical. That's not what I'm saying at all. But there's certainly that when a game maker, no matter how big or small, comes to you and says, I would like to be on your show, that's really the moment where you go, holy bleep, I made it. Yeah. People really are listening to this. This is amazing. I know for me that was huge the first time we got an email about that.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the way it is for me. And, you know, when they contact me, and I've kicked some over to OLR. Mm-hmm. In that sense, because sometimes I think you guys are a better fit. But no, I mean, now my only thing, and if any game makers are out there listening, which I know there are some that do, I don't like covering Kickstarters as much as I like covering something that at least has something playable, even if it's a demo or something. I don't want to cover a promise.
Yeah.
But I mean, if your Kickstarter has like, oh, here's a demo and I play it, I'm like, okay, cool. You know, but if you're going to like say, oh, I've got a Kickstarter up of some concept art and our story thing, I'm not too interested in giving that coverage. But if you're like, I already have the first level playable, here it is, it's on my Kickstarter page, then we can talk.
You know, and if for me, it's a little bit of a, you know, kind of what is it bringing to the table? If the Kickstarter is kind of bringing something new to the table, I might want to have a conversation about why is this important type of thing. Like, for example, this particular thing that was brought up at the panel was an edutainment game. And, you know, we don't talk about edutainment an awful lot. It's outside the scope of, hey, guys, remember the Oregon Trail or remember Carmen Sandiego? You know, we talk about the stuff that we played, but we don't talk a lot about the new stuff. So, you know, if that – and I don't recall if that thing was a Kickstarter, if it's something that's already funded. But even if it was a Kickstarter, I would be open to having a conversation about maybe, okay, you can plug your Kickstarter, but I want to talk about the importance of edutainment games today and how they've come. And let's have a conversation about, like, that and what's different. You know what I mean? So, yeah. If there
are angles. If there's a good angle,
yes,
absolutely. That's the thing. Absolutely. Don't just say, oh, I'm going to make a side scroll. I'm going to make a roguelike Metroidvania.
Yeah, right?
Not interested.
Is exactly.
I wish you the best of luck.
Exactly.
I'm not interested.
And that's a big part, you know, what all the podcasters on the panel said is that, you know, ask, because many of us would be flattered, you know, if you ask us. And, you know, the worst I'm going to tell you, and I think I said something to the kin of, you know, if you come to me and you pitch, you know, Baby Killer 5000 on Kickstarter, I may not be so open to that, but I will say thank you for contacting us, and maybe here's some other shows I know about that might cover, you know, murder games. I don't know, or whatever it is. So
no, that's cool. And that's very good advice and stuff. And, you know,
yeah, so it was a great panel in that regard. And it's always awesome just to, like, you know, you always kind of wonder, especially when we heard that we were up against David Gator, who's a big author at BioWare. He had a panel in Room B at the same time. And then Anita Sarkeesian, which obviously her YouTubes about the tropes and all that, those are huge. And she had a line going, I think it was out the door, and so it was huge. You know, we were up against both those panels, and I was really impressed that, oh my God, we still got people. Like, it's very flattering that, you know, people mm-hmm. said, no, out of BioWare and huge YouTube celebrity, I want to see the indie podcasters. That's just, that's cool. That's like a little hug.
I wish I was there for it.
Oh, well, you were in spirit, Bobby. Like I said, you got name checked. Nice. So your presence was felt.
And that makes me happy. Maybe next year.
Maybe next year. Whatever they end up doing in the future, who knows? JengaCon.
There you go. I saw those pictures. That was some hardcore seriousness.
You know, some people went off to play 3DS. Some people played the console games. Some people were playing Ticket to Ride. We were like, what's easy? What do we all know how to play? Jenga. And it was very serious.
I could tell.
Very serious. But I met new people playing Jenga. Yeah. We had an individual come up to our table that wanted to play Jenga with us and was like, oh, no, no. And I started to yell at them because they were using two hands to touch the Jenga, which, as we all know, is against the rules. You have to use one hand. But they were like, no, 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 I've got a new trick, and removed two blocks at the same time and caused the whole tower to drop one level but not collapse.
Wow.
Now, they did it one time out of five times trying, but that one time was very impressive when it worked.
That was pretty awesome. Impressive.
So, yeah, that was the awesome Jenga moment of the con.
Awesome. Well, get some rest. There's no Orange Lounge Radio tonight.
No, there is not. I'm sorry to the OL Army that we cannot bring you a new show tonight. But, you know, we're just being, as I call it, on. You know, there's a switch on. Being on and having to kind of have that energy for 3 hours. My batteries need recharging tonight, as do Darkstalkers. And Loki is obviously already committed to family. So we're going to continue to take the night off. But we will be all charged and ready to go with a full recap of GamerX and some of the other panels I saw and some of the other things next week at OLR.
So go back and watch Evo or watch some other stream or something. I'm not streaming anything tonight. But.
Or look at all that Tumblr post coming out of DashCon, because that's pretty funny.
Check that out. All right. Well, I will talk to you next week.
Yes, Bobby. Thank you, as always, for having me.
All right. So that is it for me. There's your Tiger Claw. Like, you're going to have an extra long show. We went 10 minutes longer tonight. So there's your extra long show, Tiger Claw. We will be back next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here on the Voice Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com. So will OLR. You can catch us live and interact with the show directly. You can leave me a voicemail on any topic or leave a bumper for use in the show on the toll-free number 1-888-36-GAME-1, or you can email me an MP3 to bumpers@BobbyBlackWolf.com. I'm on Facebook, facebook.com/BobbyBlackWolf, or Twitter @BobbyBlackWolf, or you can contact me on my website, BobbyBlackWolf.com. Hey, if you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. The show is not for everybody, and sometimes it contains some dead air live. But it may be for somebody who doesn't know about it yet. But we would not be able to make the live show work without the help of the chatter. So thank you very much, Dark Tetsuya, DC Nate, Misty, Ronma, The Rob D, VHHNXV, Doomplague, Fifth Dream, Havoc978, Shadow Next Gen, Act Deft, Alan Alchemy, Bacon Bits, Bob Coffee, Bonds006, Brad from Pod Culture, Breakman, Burr, Crispy, DeBlueGuy, Dungeon Buster, E3VL, Eric K., Flacco Jones, Hitstun, Blender, Kaijudo, Kenzie, Kazan, Les, Mako, Masked Bishop, Matt Q, Melted General, MXT, Raginator, Sean, Spath, SSJ100, Matt, Tech2030, Tigerclaw, Toagak, Travis Donovan, Wyland, and Zappy. So that's it for me. Like I said, no OLR tonight. They're going to be recovering. There may be some more dead air tonight on the live feed. So if you want to hear some dead air, you might want to stick around. Don't know why you'd want to. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the VOG Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom. Although if Bobby said it, it really should be.
This has been a production of Bobby Blackwolf Studios.